from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text for today is taken from today's lesson, John chapter 10, 1 through 10, and also continuing on through the 18th verse. I'm just going to read a few verses here. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and he will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." So far the text. John chapter 10 is one of those pivotal chapters in the entire Bible. The image that is used more often than not for God, that he uses for himself, is that of a shepherd. And that goes all the way back to Psalm 23. And the prophets pick up on that image as well and expand on what that really means for God to be not just a shepherd, but a very good shepherd, as opposed to the shepherds that weren't very good. Now, finally, in John chapter 10, Jesus kind of completely fulfills the meaning of that word, that God is our good shepherd. And we respond to that. And as Christians, as sheep of his flock who recognize his voice, it's not just that we admire him, and it's not just that we follow him or pledge allegiance to him. We worship him as God. When people in the Bible, or study the Bible, say Jesus never considered himself to be God, he never said that, when he said he's a good shepherd, that's exactly what people understood him saying. We worship him as the God who created all life, who sustains all life, who redeems all life. Now, to that kind of statement, there are only two ways you can react to that. Either he's insane, or his voice is the only voice that we ever really wanted to hear. You can see this division in the chapter before this, in chapter 9, where Jesus heals the man born blind. In that chapter, the Pharisees say, "This man is insane. We know he's a sinner." By the way, calling Jesus God a sinner is blasphemy. But then the man who was healed of his blindness, later on it says that he fell down at Jesus' feet and he worshiped him. Blasphemy or worship, there is no in between. It's one or the other. And then we have this text where the division becomes even more clear as you get to the end of the text. It says, "Therefore there was a division again among the Jews because of these sayings. And many of them says, 'He has a demon, he is mad, why do you listen to him?' Others said, 'These are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?'" So everybody is separated, is divided on who Jesus is. And the verses just prior to this that Jesus speaks, this is the reason why. He says, "Therefore my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. This command I have received from my Father." So in those verses, he says three things. Number one, I can lay down my life. Number two, after I'm dead, I can take that life up again. And number three, I have the authority to do this. Now, no one has a problem with number one. Anybody can lay down their life. But when you're dead, you stay dead. And to say anything else is insane. Or it's the greatest news that we've ever heard. Now, when you look at this text, you can kind of split it up in three sections. Verses 1 through 6 of this text is Jesus giving this figure of speech of him being a shepherd. The second section, 7 through 10, Jesus expands on that a little bit, and he says, "I'm also the door." And then verses 11 through 18, he goes even further, and he says, "Now I'm also the good shepherd." So in these three sections, you can also see it this way, that the shepherd gathers and leads, verses 1 through 6, verses 7 through 10. Why does he do that? So that we might have life and have it abundantly. And then finally, verses 11 through 18, how is he going to do that? By laying his life down for the sheep. Now, what's really important to understand is exactly who Jesus is talking to in this chapter. That's what's so nice when you look at chapter 9 and 10, and you see that there's a perfect bridge from chapter 9 to chapter 10. There is no break. So at the end of chapter 9, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees. And now in chapter 10, he's still talking to the Pharisees. And he says, you guys are the thieves, and you're the robbers, and you're the strangers, and you've come to destroy. I mean, look at chapter 9, the man born blind. I mean, they don't lift a finger to help this guy. They cast him out of the synagogue, essentially ending his social life. They were horrible shepherds. Jesus is different. Why? Because he gathers, because he leads, because he gives life. And when Jesus equates himself with the good shepherd, everybody knew he was saying, I'm God. Now again, there's two ways to respond to that. We can either be his sheep and say that's the greatest voice we've ever heard in our life and follow it, or we could say he's insane. Well, the Pharisees opt for number two. He's nuts. He's insane. Now, how is Jesus going to respond to that? He can do two things. Number one, he can continue to explain what he's talking about who he is, or he can get even crazier. And usually what Jesus does is both of them at the same time. So you go to John chapter 6. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. And everybody goes, bread? You're not bread, you're a person. What are you talking about, bread? And so how does he respond? If you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you'll have no part in me. Not only is that kind of strange, it's kind of bizarre. Jesus does the same thing here. He begins with this general picture of himself as the good shepherd. It says they don't understand it. So he says, fine, how about a mixed metaphor? I'm a good shepherd, I'm also the door to the sheepfold. And I can lay down my life, and if I'm dead, I can take that life up again. Some said he was insane. Others said, we've never heard a voice like this. I never wanted to hear a voice better than this. I never wanted to be in a sheepfold different than this. This last week was call day at the seminary, both of them, then the one I graduated from. And so I always used to like to watch those on videotape. They have a live feed. So you watch these guys getting their first call to the ministry. And, of course, it reminded me of my own. And so I did just a little research. I mean, the Internet's amazing. I actually found the videotape of my call day. I'd never found that before. Now, the quality isn't nearly as good as it is today, but I could sure sit and make myself out. And it starts at the sermon by President Hines of the Michigan District, and it goes all the way to the end of the service. And so I was just, it was bringing back so many memories for me because I was nervous. They don't tell you where you're going, you know. It could be anywhere. And my friend was soon to be the son-in-law of the dean of students. And so he knew in advance where we were all going. And so he kept saying, I know where you're going. And he'd give little hints. Oh, it just drove me crazy. So I was like a nervous wreck, all of us were. And I'm watching that, and I see here they go. And they start at the A's, Barry Akers, first guy, friend of mine. And it goes B, C, D, E, going on. Finally, they get to the S's. And boy, it's like I'm nervous all over again, right? And all of a sudden, Theodore Schaefer, Minnesota South District, St. John's Lutheran Church, Willow Creek, Minnesota. And I see myself walk up and get my call papers and shake Leroy Vogel's hand, shake another district president's hand, and walk back to my seat with a big smile on my face. Hooray. Now, my smile got even bigger when I met with the district president right after that service because he gave me, unlike anyone else, I got an extra packet. And in that packet were like 60 or 70 photographs of the house I was going to be living in. And it was absolutely beautiful. I had never seen a house furnished and decorated like this in my life. I'd certainly never lived in one like this. And everybody was really envious of me. Now, why over the next 3 weeks as I finished up school and graduated and drove up to Minnesota, why it never occurred to me or my father that the furniture probably belonged to the previous pastor. Never occurred to me. And I walked in the door, and there was nothing. There was no chair. There was no table. There was no furniture. Luckily, I brought a chair with me, but there was no furniture. There was no fridge. There was no oven, no microwave, no washer, dryer, dishwasher, nothing. All that was in the house were basically two bathrooms, a sink, and void. Okay, just emptiness. And so I stayed there for 6 years. I eventually started acquiring a few things, but I always knew that as the empty house, right? Plus, it wasn't mine. It belonged to the church. Just the empty house. Okay, from there, I took a call to start a mission plant in northern Minnesota, so I was up in Brainerd. There I rented a house from an elderly couple who spent the winter in Arizona, and so I stayed at that house. Now, that house wasn't empty at all, but it was, I mean, if you wanted to transplant the Brady's house from the 1970s, it was the same thing, okay? A lot of shag carpet, a lot of burnt orange and maize and avocado green, and then there were things that were just bizarre. I mean, for some reason, they didn't paint their wall like a normal color. It wasn't painted at all. Somehow they superimposed the entire wall with pictures that made it look like you were inside an aquarium. So where I sat by the TV set, if I just turned to my right, there was like a 6-foot-tall clownfish right there. I mean, it was just weird. The whole house was that way. And then, for some unknown reason, the lid of the toilet, right, on the back of it had the seal of the United States of America. Have you ever, I'd love to ask them what they were thinking there, but. And then the weirdest thing is, every single thing in the kitchen, every pot, pan, dish, cup, glass, fork, knife, spoon, either had a paper towel on it or wrapped around it. Everything. I was there 6 months. I never bought paper towels, okay? There were plenty to be had. So first house was the empty house. This house was the bizarro house, okay? And then eventually, 6-7 months later, I bought my own house in Pequot Lakes. Now, it wasn't empty. I'd gotten some furniture by that time. And it wasn't bizarre, right? I didn't repaint fish all over the walls or anything. But it was still just a house. What really changed that, and I'm not saying this because it's her birthday this week, and she's not here. What changed that is when Nancy came into the house. That's what changed it. That's when the house became a home. Because a house is one thing. I mean, you just live in a house. I survived in those other houses. But this is a home. Now you don't just survive. Now you just don't have life, but you have it in a new way. You have it in a way that's abundant. You have it in a way that's it's made possible because of a relationship. Well, this is what Jesus is saying to the disciples and to the Pharisees. He wants them to have one more shot at seeing the truth. And he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am your good shepherd. And I guide you, and I lead you, and I give you life that's abundant. And of course, we understand what he means by that. Abundance of life does not mean a lot of stuff. Obviously not. I can't tell you how many people I could list off that have all the stuff in the world and are not very happy. It has nothing to do with stuff. It has to do with relationship, with the one who brings us into the sheepfold, where we're safe. And then it's nice enough to make sure we can get out of the sheepfold and get something to eat, right? Abundance of life. Plenty. This is what the Lord does for us. And he says an amazing thing in chapter 10. He links himself and shows how closely he's bonded with the Father. And then he says, just as close am I bounded with you. That's remarkable. And that's the good news of our Savior. Now, what Jesus said all those years ago, it's either insane or it's the truth. And I thank God that we are his sheep. And we do not want to hear any other voice than that one. Because that's the voice that says that he did lay down his life for us, for our salvation, for our forgiveness, so that we might be called children of God. But even more importantly, that he took that life up again. And so we listen to his voice as he still calls to us, and we follow him, and we love him, and we worship him. And we thank God for the life he's given us, and we thank God for the abundance of his love. In Jesus' name, amen.